It's quite amazing that in the midst of this season right now, you have two men that are running to be the head of the United States of America. The title that we use is president. And in looking at the title that we use as president, we realize that person has certain amount of privilege and responsibilities that he can carry out that's given to him by the Constitution of the United States and other such like documents. Now, there are times when presidents go above that and they do things that are called executive orders. And often if they do things that are outside of that and take control, you have to go through the court system to change it. And if those things go ahead and stay, they have more and more power. There are other countries where people listen to us teach, where they have a different form of government. They may have someone that's a dictator. They may have some kind of religious dictator over them. They may have a parliament that's over them. And in that type of situation, those people get a chance to rule and govern the people. Our title today will deal with those kind of issues and where is it that the family of God fits in. Look at the topic. The family must see the sovereignty of God to be able to warn governments. If we don't see as a family the sovereignty of God, guess what will happen? You'll think that there's no hope. Things are just happening as they are. Some interloping government has just come in and taken over. Or somebody has just came in and taken over Yugoslavia. Or somebody has come and taken over Turkey. Or we voted in the wrong person. Or we voted in the right person. Understand that unless the family of God sees his sovereignty, you won't be able to warn governments when they get out of line because you'll think there's nothing you can do, there's no hope, no, and it's all despair. And we saw in our last chapter, chapter 3, when it looked like the government of Nebuchadnezzar, somebody said, that wasn't a government. Well, maybe your school didn't teach you what a monarch was, a monarchy was, an absolute monarchy was, so let me fill in the gap. An absolute monarch is one that is not bound by the laws. He is over the laws. His word can be given, taken away. He can do as he pleases. The only absolute monarch I ever want is God Almighty, who is blessed forever. Amen. Even when we went through the kings and the chronicles, we did not see David as an absolute monarch. We did not see Saul as an absolute monarch. He tried to operate as an absolute monarch or an absolute king when he can be above the law. But there was somebody he had fear of. His name was the prophet what? Come on, help me now. Samuel. Because God gave Samuel the one to be able to warn him. As a matter of fact, not only did they not get to be an absolute monarch on their own, they had a constitution. Well, you can say a constitution because we're used to that. But they had God's guidebook, his law, his Torah, that they were supposed to write and go by. And not only was he not supposed to be an absolute monarch, in the sense that Nebuchadnezzar was. He was never supposed to be able to go into the holiest of all and get the redemption for the people on the Day of Atonement. He wasn't even supposed to be the one burning the incense. Somebody say, Tim, how do you know? I said, let your mind go way back. Way back. Back into time. Where Uzziah tried to go in there and burn incense and they tried to warn him. But in his might and in his pomp and in his circumstance, I'm going to do it anyway. And the Lord smote him with leprosy. The family must see the sovereignty of God, Brother Charles, to be able to warn governments of whatever it is, the warning that God has for them to have. our sub-point would be, the family of God must be prepared to feed the homeless. Now, I understand there are a lot of people that go out and feed the homeless and they think that make them righteous. For some reason, it seems as if the homeless in some people's mind is this righteous group of people, and if you feed them, you are right with God. That's not what the Bible said, because there were people that followed Jesus in John chapter 6 that wanted to eat, and Jesus got rid of them. You follow me for the wrong thing. You want to eat the wrong thing. They're coming from the vein of where Jesus came from. Labor not for the meat to perish, but the meat that's going to give you life. The family of God must be prepared to feed the homeless. In other words, we have a Father up in heaven, Pop. When you read the scriptures, it said, you have a Father in heaven. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father, not their Father, your Father, which is in heaven. Because that which is born of flesh is flesh, John 1 and 12. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not, you must be born anothen. King James says again, but anothen means from above. We are the family of God. Everybody that's not in that family, they are homeless. Biblically speaking, they are wanderers. They are away from the faith. They are strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. They are strangers from the covenants and the promises. They don't have an inheritance in God and Reuben. Their inheritance is with the damned and the congregation of the doomed. This chapter in Daniel chapter 4, I submit to you, will be able to address those issues. So why should we wait any longer before we start reading in verse 1? Well, I'll give you an answer. Because we're in chapter 4, and I feel we just need to get one little taste of where we've been, because I don't want us, after we get through with this chapter, or when we get through the book of Daniel, the only thing people can remember is Daniel in the lion's den. We ain't even gotten there yet. Two more chapters away. I don't only want you to remember about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No. What I want us to do is understand that God had allowed these people to have been taken into exile, and you have taken some of the young men that knew God's word, and the king tried to make them fit into the government, and Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah wouldn't do it, but yet they took the learning that the world, that the ungodly had to offer, and they took that, and with God's help, they were able to be in charge over the people there. Blessed everlasting name. Then in chapter 2, we see that God can speak to the ungodly. Don't you ever think that God only speaks through your church, only speaks through the person that's teaching you, or only speak to you individually. He can speak through dreams and visions. And he can speak. Now what you do is you take the dream and vision and compare it to the word. Now you can have a dream of anything. I dreamed many, many years ago my mama was dead. Yeah, I did. She's still sitting there, see? Don't think that all dreams and visions come from God. But some do. Truthfully, you all, there's hardly a night that I go to sleep that I don't dream. I can take a nap and dream. My dreams are so real and so vivid, I can wake up either tired, sweating, and my wife told me that I've screamed in the night when somebody is like, ah! And she'll wake me up. I said, I'm glad they were getting me. Here is the point. Nebuchadnezzar was talked to by God. How do you know that his dream was of God? Daniel said it. But at that particular time, that dream was to give Nebuchadnezzar an answer of what you were thinking about, what you were contemplating. You contemplating, probably trying to figure out what you can do to preserve your kingdom. And God is saying, you can't preserve your kingdom. Your kingdom is only going to last so long, and then it's going to be replaced. And we see in a particular chapter, God can elevate his people in the midst of a foreign country, in the midst, because we see in chapter 3 that you don't like the Jews. Those the Jews, they call me, those Jews, the two prophets over here, they're not even one of us. You put them in charge, chapter 3 says. And they don't even bow to this image that you're making to defy the image that was given in chapter 2. So we see God can give dreams and visions. But the family, those in the family must be prepared to know the sovereignty of God so that they can speak to this world. Would to God there would be somebody that loves God as a part of the family of God and know his word that could be in there with Barack Hussein Obama. And if he wins again, Barack Hussein Obama, or if Mitt Romney wins with Mitt Romney, or if Putin is in charge of Medvedev in Russia, that he could be in charge, or with Ahmadinejad. Would to God that somebody... Somebody say, Tim, that don't make sense with Ahmadinejad. I said, then you don't understand the Bible. Because when we get to chapter 6, in that same area where Ahmadinejad is, Daniel is up in there and he's talking and helping the king. But when you start getting intimidated by the size of the government and forget the size of the sovereignty of God, you might capitulate and you won't be of any good to him, your family, or the world. I'm talking about ultimately. And no one can eat anything off of you to benefit. Now in chapter 3 we saw that Nebuchadnezzar tried to make the government absolute and his gods absolute, and that you merge them together. Take away the distinctiveness of your God that is absolute and is sovereign, that don't want to be served with no one else, that don't want you to bow down to anything else, and his ways and his statutes and the way that he wants you to worship. I don't want you to worship that way anymore. I want you to take on my nature, my character, fly my flag, bow down to my will and my government, and forget God. Now we see even within that, they were subservient, they were workers, they did, but you don't get a chance to make me privatize who I am. You don't get to make me change who I am. My value is so much by knowing the sovereignty of the Almighty God who is blessed forever. Amen. I can be in the position to warn you when necessary and feed you. Somebody say, Tim, how does he feed? You got to understand, when you look into the sweet, sweet word of God, what do we see? Daniel saved the lives of all of those people in chapter 2. In chapter 3, God fed them when he brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out the furnace. Brother Charles, they were being fed. You might not have saw the food come by, but let me help you when the buffet came by. This is on the buffet card. There is no other God that can deliver out the fire like this. Our strong man was burned. He was standing there in the midst of the fire. Nebuchadnezzar changed his mind for some reason. It said he was terrified. We realize at this particular time, they got a God that they don't have to bow down to this government. They can hold to their God. And if we held on to their God, we could probably have the same kind of benefit and the same kind of protection. And we need to know what they know. And I would tell you that the thing worked so well that when you read Matthew chapter 1 and 2, the Magi came from the east, that part of the world, and said, where is he? Where is he that is born the king of the Jews? We have seen his star. We're in the east. We saw his star while we were in the east. And we know what Daniel did. We know about the chief of the musicians. We know how he saved our lives. We know how he defied our king. We know how his God delivered. We know about Shadrach, Meshach, and that God can't die, because Nebuchadnezzar said he's an everlasting God. We'll see that today, and we have come to worship him. When the family of God understand the sovereignty of God, the benefits of it, and they can feed the homeless, they don't know about God, the benefits of that can go on and on and on after you are in your grave. You know what I've done? I gave you the relevance of where I'm trying to go in this passage, and I've given you a background of what we've covered thus far. Now let's move into chapter 4, and let's taste the juice. I'm talking about God's word is so pretty. I feel like I've already started my preach. Okay, go ahead, Dre, help me.
Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation.
Okay, now let's take these three verses and let's look at what is being said right here. Now, Stephen Langton, about the 13th century, if you all want to try to remember this name, Stephen Langton, say it with me. Stephen Langton. Stephen Langton. Stephen Langton. He is the one that put your chapters and verses in there, okay? That's how we use that for reference. So a lot of my studies show that this really could have been incorporated in what we just got through with chapter 3. I'm not going to make a big to-do of it. I'm just letting you know because I'm looking to see did a big time span jump. I can't tell. I tried. I can't. Now, if you got one, you can give me. I can add that to the reservoir of knowledge that I've accumulated over the years, or I can have it written down where I can click on it in a note. But I haven't found anybody to give me that this time frame is not close to there. So why would you say this? Because if this, the way it is separated, it looks like, when did this happen? What happened? But if you have seen what you have seen, remember now, he was afraid. He was frightened. He was astonished. When you see this fourth man in there that don't come out, notice he didn't say, oh, you all come out. He could have. But I don't, let me put it like this. If I'm bothering some man's child, and the child is crying, and I didn't mean to do anything. I didn't. Actually, I got a cousin that got killed snatching a child out of the street out there in what is called Miro's. If I understand it right, they call him Pookie Goss. And say that a child was running across the street. He snatched it. I mean, out there about to get hit, he snatched the child up, and the father came out and killed him. Whether the story is true or not, can you imagine somebody come out and see you have their daughter jacked up in the air and not understand what's going on? That could happen. So what I'm saying is, when you look and you see this passage right here, and you say this angel, this fourth one is there, I don't think you want the one that can stop your hottest fire from burning his servants to come out. It's like, can you stay right there? I'll get it right with them. I'll do my apologies. I'll say that I'm sorry, I'll recognize, and I'll acknowledge that I did wrong. He did all of those things. So if this does tie with that, listen to how this fits. Nebuchadnezzar, king unto all people, nations, languages that dwell on the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God has wrought toward me. You see, it could have been that he did something to me, but anytime you see someone stronger than you and they're of another dimension and they don't even look exactly like you and they're not even affected by the best of your armament or your punishment, that's a good sign when they don't hurt you, okay? That's a good sign toward you. In other words, you warned me. Let me tell you something. Just the presence of a real father or a mother when a child is doing wrong, if that child know that that parent will keep them in line, just the presence often brings the child in the line. Sometimes just the mention of the name. Tim, I'm going to tell your daddy what you did. Mama, please, no, Mama. Now, that's respect toward the father and disrespect toward the mother, because the mother had to say that. But when you're young and you're disobedient, you don't tie all of the links together. But anyway, this is the point. And he says, how great are thy signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Do you remember what was happening at this particular time? He was trying to defy what was being set up as the kingdom of God. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to make it like his kingdom was going to go on forever, and God was not going to allow for that. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was doing, and he has reversed what he said. He said his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation unto generation. And what I really like about this a lot is this. In the case with Nebuchadnezzar saying that, you acknowledging that stone that Daniel saw in chapter 2 that crushed the feet and grew up, you're beginning to acknowledge that this is what is. Please read.
I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream.
So what is happening here, Naomi, is Nebuchadnezzar is being talked to God a lot, by God a lot. He's on his bed again. He's talking to him. He's giving him dreams. He's giving him visions. So Nebuchadnezzar said, I was at rest in my house. My house. And if you don't understand, it's a palace. Okay? It's not just a little house. It's a palace. And I was flourishing in it. I was not just chilling. I was very prosperous. I was thriving in it. Everything is at peace. I've already destroyed Jerusalem, and nothing bad has happened to me. I've let these other boys go, you know how some people say, I dodged the bullet? And you wonder what they mean, and you begin to understand, I've dodged the bullet. I'm good. And I was sitting there, and I was thinking about myself. Then I saw a dream in the midst of me being happy, in the midst of me flourishing, in the midst of me being in my palace. I got a dream because people are not scaring me. People rising up, that's not scaring me. That fourth man in the fire, he's gone. But a dream came in, and it made me afraid. It troubled me. Do you all remember, I believe it is in the 21st chapter of Genesis. I hope that I'm not wrong on it, but I will tell you what happened. There was a man that took Abraham's wife, Sarah, and he said, I'm going to put her with my harem. And in the midst of one night while he was dreaming, Aunt Dream, guess what happened? Thou art but a dead man. Why? What happened? Oh, you took a man's wife. But, and you all don't know the rest of the story, go read it. But it came out to be that Abraham said that, I didn't know God was up in here. So even way back then, God has already shown that I can talk to King Abimelech, the son of a king. Melech, and Abimelech is talking about the position of being a king. So now we see God doing the same thing. He's talking to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was at peace. Everything was happy. Everything was going good. He had a dream that made him afraid. That's what it says. And it pretty much terrified him. Then it says, and then the thoughts of my head and the vision of my bed, it troubled me. Understand something. You're at peace when I don't want you at peace. You're enjoying life when I'm not ready for you to enjoy life like it is. I've shown you a lot of signs. I've shown you a lot of wonders. I've given you enough reason for you not to be all stuck up on yourself. You still need extra help. You still need warning from my sovereignty. Now understand, if the men of God in Babylon at that particular time had not stuck with God and showed what God was doing, God can still show the ungodly governmental rule of Nebuchadnezzar that he's sovereign. But look at how God uses people to reiterate what he said and to use them in conjunction with what he was doing. He didn't have to have Daniel. He did not have to have Abednego or Shadrach or Meshach. But God is doing a collaborative thing, and their job was to be able to come in and feed the nations and show the nations who he is. So when you're scattered, you're still doing the work of God when you stand up rightly. Read the next sweet verse of God.
Then came in the magician.
Read number six for me again, because I needed to hit that.
Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream.
I'm not going to stay on that long, 10 seconds. This time, he's going to tell them the dream, what it is, give me an interpretation, unlike what he did in chapter 2. Please read.
Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof.
Now, when you see they, look at the did is in italic, but they make known unto me the interpretation thereof. We realize that it should have the not that's added there because of the next verse when we read it. Here's the point. It did not say here that they could not. I don't know if they could or couldn't. It could have been that I'm not. Let's just look at it and examine it for a moment. If they could tell the interpretation thereof, it might have for them felt like there is certain death, if I say it. When you look at this dream, I mean, now they have a book of dreams that they can go and interpret. And I will show you some more things of how in the ancient world they look as people being trees. And so in this one here, it may be that they could, but it's like, I'm not going to let my mouth wrap around words and say like that. And it could have been that they couldn't. I don't know. I could fall on one side and fall down on the other. I would say a little more of my weight is going to the side that they didn't want to tell it. But since I don't know, if you fall down on the side, they couldn't. But let's look at who they are. These are people that are known throughout the world for their ability to deal with omens, that to tell things about to go by the stars, diviners, soothsayers, and they came. And this is not really the hardest dream that I don't think that they would have ever had to deal with. But we also know God can hold people from not being able to know things. I'm just letting you know they didn't do it. That's what the Bible is saying. They did not do it. And then the other one, when they had the dream in chapter 2, they don't ask anybody to do that. No man could do this. It's only with the gods. The gods don't deal with men. We don't see that here, do we? But it doesn't mean that they could, that they had an idea what it was and were afraid to say. Give me... That they could not, it's not saying this in the text here, and they're adding that, and I'm glad you brought up the ESV said that. There may be some other texts that may say it, but the thing is that did they have the ability or not when we go behind the English? I'm glad you brought that up, that's good. Anybody else read another version where?
Did you say that it says did not, is italicized in
The did is not just a not. Thus they not make known. The did is...
Okay, because it's not italicized in my version. It's
okay.
There.
Okay, which version are you reading?
King James.
Okay, I'm reading the authorized version, which would be the same like a King James, but it's done in a paragraph form.
Okay.
And it's set like that. We'll move through and we'll see how it comes out, okay? Give me the next verse, please.
But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof.
Go ahead. I just want to make that sound. Go ahead.
Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth.
Okay, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to show you one more thing on that last part where your ESV said this in the Septuagint, in verse 4. It's different in the Septuagint. Okay? What I'm saying, the verse lining up. It says, so the enchanters, the magicians, soothsayers, and Chaldeans came in, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known to me the interpretation thereof. So even in the way that, you see, if you're doing a translation and they didn't, you might just, without even thinking about it, assume that they couldn't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you don't mean any harm. But let's say that if you did not, and it's a life and death situation, then you could be that you could not for fear. Not just I could not because I don't understand. So in that particular case, when you're going to try to resolve what's going on. So I just wanted to bring that in because I know sometimes when we're studying or when we're going through a passage, a person's mind may still be stuck right there and we miss the good stuff that Dre is reading. So at the last hope, he brought in the one that he named Belteshazzar according to the name of my God, in whom the spirit of the holy gods are in. When he said the holy gods, this is not necessarily saying the God of heaven, because you're talking about when he's saying holy gods here and dealing with the plural. And that's not what the God of heaven. But he just said, I realize something is in him that's different. And he says, and he told him the dream saying, you are master. Let's keep that in line with the the preamble that I gave you when I said that the family, they must really understand the sovereignty of God to be able to warn governments, and that the family of God must be able to feed the homeless. Here we see that this man has been promoted to the top. He is considered to be master of the magicians. Bless the Lord's name. In other words, great. And it says, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods are in thee. Now, what's sweet about that to me when he says that is, that's similar to what Joseph was told. If I had decided to run parallel completely on this with the life of Joseph, you might have been astonished. But I do want to give you this one for free. Back in Genesis, when Joseph was brought out of prison, which he was put in there he shouldn't have been, by a governmental official. Yes, he was. And he was brought out later on after some other governmental officials didn't acknowledge and didn't remember him. Now he's brought to the top governmental official. Yeah, he was. Back in Genesis chapter 41 and 38, listen to what he says. Pharaoh says, and he said to his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the spirit of God is. What did God, he could say that about every one of us. If we were brought before a magistrate or a judge or a city council or a governor or a mayor or a president, or we're taken away to another country, then can we find a man like Charles Ramsey? Can we find a man like Damien in whom the spirit of God is? Can we find one? In other words, I'm expecting a no. I'm expecting a no. And then we see in the book of Joshua chapter 24 and 19, Joshua says, and Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for the Lord is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or sins. Why would you bring that up? Although Nebuchadnezzar and Pharaoh are talking about the one whom the spirit of the holy God is, that's the only way that you can fit into that category. You on your own cannot serve. Tim on his own cannot serve God. God is holy. He must impute that to me. He must give that to me of himself and impart his holiness to me. And Daniel, it was recognized in Daniel. It was recognized in Joseph. It should be recognized in the family to put you in the position to warn those that need to be warned and feed those that need to be fed. And he said, the visions in my dream where I've seen and the interpretation thereof, thus the vision in my head when I was in my bed I saw what, Dre? Verse 10.
Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong.
Okay, that's what we have right now in the middle of the earth. As far as his dream was concerned, there was a tree in the middle of the earth. It grew up, it was big, it was strong. Strong tree. You can look at some trees and you know they don't look like they worth much. And you can look at, if you ever seen a picture of a big redwood, it's like, whoa! Huge. I've seen pictures of redwoods on the web where they drive a car under it, and it's still enough room. As a matter of fact, two sides of roads are in it. I've seen it on the web, and it still haven't covered the whole circumference of a tree. So Nebuchadnezzar is seeing something huge. Read on, Dre, it's so beautiful.
The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven. And the sight thereof to the end of all the earth.
I want you to understand something. I'm going to pull this in. We're not going to read it for the sake of time. But in Genesis chapter 11, when men did not scatter on the earth like God said. Andrina, if you will go to Ezekiel 31 for me. Be there for me, please. And so when men did not want to scatter on the face of the earth, they said, we're going to build a tower. And we're going to have that thing to reach up to the sky. Yeah, they did. And that was going to be the epitome of the glory of man, that we can reach up into the heaven, into the sky, and we can affect things for ourselves. And then one man decided, when that happened, I want to be king of all, and his name was Nimrod. Well, instead of this time it being a tower in Babylon, a Shinar reaching up to the sky, now we got a tree in the midst of the earth, but it's being dreamed about by a man in Babylon, and we're going to see he is that tree. He is going to be almost like what you would consider the Tower of Babel. Why do you say that, Tim? All peoples, all nations, all languages, and tongues bow down to the image that I made. Mm-hmm. I just want you to see that is Babylon is always fighting against Jerusalem. Read some more, Dree.
And the site thereof to the end of all the earth.
Okay, it was big, it was strong, and it was able to be seen throughout all the earth. What else?
The leaves thereof were fair.
It was beautiful, Naomi. It was good looking, magnificently wonderful to look upon. What else?
And the fruit thereof much.
Had much fruit to feed. In other words, this big tree has the ability to feed nations and peoples, etc. Please read.
And in it was meat for all.
Mm-hmm.
The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it.
I need you to understand that this tree is so big and so magnificent in the fruit, it can feed the animals, it can feed the people, it can provide shelter and shade to be protected from the heat of the sun. And it says they were there and they were fed of it. This is a magnificent tree, but when the Bible talks about what God wants for the family and how the family should be able to trust God's sovereignty, to be able to warn nations, to be able to warn people and government. We should be able to feed the homeless. How did Jesus say this? Remember this picture of this big tree with the big boughs and all the fruit. What did Jesus say his kingdom would be like? Matthew chapter 13 and 32, it talks about a mustard seed. And it says, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, talking about his kingdom, it is the greatest of all herbs and becometh a tree. And the birds of the air come in and lodge in the branches thereof. The family of God is supposed to be able to provide a lodging and food and benefit from the world because we trust his sovereignty. And it's repeated again in Luke chapter 13, verse 19. It's like a grain of mustard seed, talking about the kingdom of heaven, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and it waxed a great tree. And the fowls of the air lodge in the branches of it. Bless his everlasting name. And if you're familiar with the book of 1 Corinthians, it tells us we are the bread. We are one bread. We're supposed to be to feed the nations. Dree, let's go back to what we're dealing with. I believe we're in verse 13 now.
I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven.
And I saw in the visions of my head a watcher and a holy one. I'm starting to see visions of beings. And, well, just seeing one is one thing, but then he talks. But, you know, if you're not familiar with the Bible talking about watchers, because, you know, that's what the almond thing was when we were in the book of Jeremiah, the almond and watchers. But let's get a little taste of what it says about watchers in the exile period. Zechariah. I'm reading from Zechariah chapter 1. I'm going to just read a little bit out of the 7th verse. Chapter 1, verse 7. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat, in the second year of Darius, now we'll get to that when we get to about Daniel chapter, I believe it is 6. Anyway, it says, Darius came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man was riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees, which were in the bottom. And behind him there were red horses speckled in white. Then I said, oh, my Lord, what are these? What do these be? And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And he answered the angel of the Lord that stood by the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. That's what Nebuchadnezzar is at this time. He's sitting still. He's at rest. Well, it's not time for you to be still and be at rest anymore, because I got some things I need to show you. In the 4th chapter, in the 10th verse, listen to what the Word of God has to say. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and they shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those 7. For they are the eyes of the Lord. They run to and fro throughout the whole earth. All I want you to understand that when we deal with that thing called the watchers and the Holy One, God has those that watch. God has those that look. David said, the eyes of the Lord, you know, the angel of the Lord kept around about them that feed him to deliver them. I just need you to know that Nebuchadnezzar is being brought into understanding. There's watchers. God has watchers. He has Holy Ones. And he has people that's watching and doing things. You saw something in the fire, but it's not over. And that's why he's troubled. I saw a watcher and a Holy One, but that's not fully what scared me. What scared him is what coming out the next of that part of that verse. Read it, Dree, again.
I saw in the visions of my bed, of my head, upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a Holy One came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches. Shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches.
Now he's seeing that this big magnificent tree is cut down. Do you think that there's a possibility that Nebuchadnezzar does not think that that's himself? I mean, really, when you want to think about it, you just stood out there and you're flourishing and you realize you can relax. And you can take it, you can have it made. And all these nations and tongues have to listen to your word. And do you think that he doesn't have an idea who he's talking? I mean, why would you just be troubled about a tree being cut down? They're like, so what? He understood that this tree and this Holy One, this watcher, has something to do with him. Or why else is he afraid? Well, at least that's what I believe. And I may be wrong, but I don't think so. And so it said, cut it down. Just cut the tree down. Let's be through with the tree. But you notice he's going to leave the stump of the roots in the tree. He says, cut it down. Cut off his branches, his strength. You're cutting down his power. You're cutting down his glory. Shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. You no longer have the ability to feed. Let the beast get away from under. You have no more of this sovereign rule and the protection of the other. And the fowls of the air no longer rest in your branches. Now, that's pretty doggone hard to see right there. But I want to read you something. I don't normally do that, but I read Zerubbabel first to let you see the watchers. I want you to see what other kind of writing about watchers were available in before we get to the New Testament. So I'm going to read a little bit out of the book of Enoch chapter 20 and give you a little taste of that. Is that all right? All right. Because I gave you what we know to be fact first. Then I'm going to show you a little extra It says, and these were the names of the holy angels who watch. Uriel, one of the holy angels, who is over the world of Tartarus. That's the underground. That's where the angels go. They're reserved in the Tartarus, reserved for the day of judgment. Raphael, one of the holy angels, who is over the spirits of men. Raphael, one of the holy angels, who takes vengeance upon the world of luminaries. Michael, one of the holy angels, to wit, he is set over the best part of mankind and over chaos. Sarakiel, one of the angels who is set over the spirits who sin in the spirit. Gabriel, one of the holy angels who is over paradise and serpents and the cherubim. Remiel, one of the holy angels who God set over those who rise. Now, you don't have to accept the book of Enoch, but rest fully assured, not only did God the people write of their history and what they know, other people write as well. I mean, I have books and books and books of commentaries, things that even were parallel and things during the time when Jesus lived, different people that wrote, and they have insights on history. If you don't believe so, go to read Josephus. And he doesn't even claim to be Christian. I'm just saying these are some of the things that they knew of watchers. Nebuchadnezzar, he got a chance to meet a watcher. Whether you accept that from the book of Enoch, that doesn't matter. I've shown you in Zerubbabel that God has watchers. Okay? I mean, I could go back and show you some that was with Elisha, but I thought I would do that for free. Because somebody might bring up something one day. I never heard of Raphael. Never heard. It's like, oh, that's in one of the book of Enoch. I've heard about him. Go ahead, let's go back to now. I talked about the watchers. Which verse are you in? Identify.
15.
Okay.
Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him.
Do you hear in the book of Romans when Paul says that God can give a man over to a reprobate mind to do those things
which are not convenient?
Do you see that here your mind is being given over to reprobacy? Mm. You've seen my glory. I allowed you to correct my people. Mm. I allowed you to destroy my temple, and your head got big. It's almost like a big brother wrestling with his little brother, and you let the little brother win. Now the little brother, every time every time you turn around, he's trying to start something. Mm. It's like, I let you win. I let. Nebuchadnezzar, I let you do what you did to Jerusalem. I let you be king like this. You are not full king. You are a vassal. Well, one of the things that when in some of my commentaries, I try to read technical commentaries so I can pull juice for you all. One of the things that I was reading in one of them, they were saying that they never known of them putting bands around trees when they're stumped. And I found one that pulled up something from ancient archaeological effects. Now, this may not mean that much, but I just want you to see that this is not something coming out of the blue. It says, in the tender grass of the field, where you're going to let it be, let me see. There is evidence of a Mesopotamian coast custom of putting metal bands around trees. Remnants of a tree with bronze rings or bands were unearthed in Khorshabad in the entrance of the temple of Shemash. Well, what does that have to do with anything? I need us to understand when we read through the Bible, this is not mythological stuff. This is stuff that you can go on archaeological finds and see that this stuff really did happen. So Nebuchadnezzar, you're just going to be just like a tree out in front of some kind of temple, but then it's going to be like you're cut down and just your stump remaining. And that is showing that what God is saying, your glory up to the sky, down. Your ability to feed, gone. Your glory, gone. Your nature, gone. Your ability and your power, gone. Why? Because you have said before that it's the everlasting God with the everlasting kingdom. His kingdom is going to be the one that stretches the heaven. His kingdom is going to be the one that feeds. His kingdom is going to be the one that gives shelter. His kingdom is the one that men can trust in, and the birds and the fowl of the air coming. It's not you, Nebuchadnezzar. Understand that I will show you unto me who you are. Don't play me. That was some of the young black women would tell their children. I used to hear them say, boy, don't play me. Like, play me. I would get to laughing when I knew what it meant. Don't play with me. We lead it without. Read on, Dre. This thing is getting good now.
This matter is by the decree of the watch.
The matter that your heart is going to be changed, that instead of me just hardening, I'm giving you the heart of a beast. Read on.
And the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over the basest of men.
And what Daniel is showing is that as a member of the family of God, now he's not saying it like this, but he is a member of the family of God. He is one of the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he, because he knows God's sovereignty, he's able to warn Nebuchadnezzar. The warning is coming about the 24th verse. But before he gives the warning, I'm giving you the credentials of the God who I serve to give you the warning. And he is the one that sets up. He is the one that pulled down. This is the decree of his watchers. His watchers don't make decrees of their own. They follow the instruction given by the sovereign God. Now, his watchers are not going to fail to do his job. That's why you saw it, and that's why you're afraid. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee.
I've already discussed how I feel about them not being able. Wait till you hear what the dream is about, and then you can have a feeling whether you just think they didn't have a clue or they didn't want to have a clue. I'm not sure. Please read.
Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar.
Let me say this, Dre. I'm sorry to interrupt you while you're reading the sweet word of God. When Nebuchadnezzar say they're not able, that's not saying that God is saying it. This is Nebuchadnezzar's thoughts. I'm disagreeing with what Nebuchadnezzar is saying, that he's saying that they're not able. They may not be. I'm thinking that they're not able because they don't want to put their neck on the line. If you can't frown in front of a king, how dare you bring him bad news? But then again, they may not have been able. He may have been 100% correct. All right, go back and read again, Dre.
Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour.
Now it says that Daniel, when he heard the dream, he was astonished. He was devastated. This is what the definition of simim means. Devastated, greatly perplexed, bewildered, brought in a state of confusion. In other words, this is bothering me. Why would it bother him for to hear this dream? Ruby, I'm glad you asked some of the best questions in the world. You have a king that has this kind of power that you can set in his gate. You have access to the king. Other people may have to come to you to get it. You set in the gate, and no matter what has been done, you are able to turn the head of the king. You are able to warn the king of the things that God has said. And it's like, oh, no. Oh, no. Read on.
And his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee.
Do you see? Do you see why I'm beginning to feel like this? It's not like Daniel's not going to say it. It doesn't even say that Daniel went got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and start praying. If anything, he's praying that I got to go and give him this. And the king is saying, because first of all, he already know Daniel knows the answer. He believes that in his might. But he said, don't let it trouble you. Don't do it. It's almost as if I see a trepidation there. Does anybody feel that? Or is it just me who feels like there's a trepidation that he sees? Well, if it's just me, that's fine. But it just says, that word where it says trouble, the word there is behel or behel, and it means frighten, trouble, to various degrees, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, so he says, don't let the dream or the interpretation make you terrified. Don't let it frighten you. Go ahead.
Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies.
Let it be to your enemies. Let it be. I would rather it be on your enemies. You've been good to me. I'm in the position to help you. But it looked like this is going to be out of my hands. I wish it could be on your enemies. Oh, King, I hate to tell you what I got to tell you. But I cannot. I'm just like Ezekiel. I might not have a scroll to eat, but I'm only going to say what God has shown you. Please read.
The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong.
Okay. You saw it. It grew. It was strong. Those are the verbs. Go ahead.
Whose height reached unto the heavens.
Just like the Tower of Babel did in Genesis chapter 11. It grew. It was strong. They made brick. And they made it. And they cooked it. And they made it strong. Go ahead.
And the sight thereof to all the earth. Whose leaves were fair. And the fruit thereof much. And in it was meat for all.
You were able to supply the whole world with your doctrine. Your religion. And your polytheism, and whatever kind of rule of government you wanted to have, you were able to do that. You were able to raise people up and set them down. You were strong. You were able to walk around in your magnificent glory and your honor. It's you. It's you. It's you, O King. Please read.
Under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation.
King Nebuchadnezzar, the cattle on 1,000 hills would have been yours. If you'd have wanted that cattle, you could have it. If you wanted that woman, you could have it. The beast of the field, they all were under your domain. But I got something I came by to tell you, the old Baptist preachers say. Read some more.
It is thou, O King, that art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven. And thy dominion to the end of the earth.
Now, that's what somebody was talking to Ann about. God has shown Nebuchadnezzar had a dominion to the end of the earth, whether he exercised it all or not. That's not the issue. The Bible said that he has done that for him. Now, I want to be nice to you all, and I want to show you all why another reason I think that this dream would have been, at least for a child of God, to understand. And I do think that people had wisdom that did not love God. Listen to Hosea 4 and 9. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. For me is thy fruit found. You all are familiar with Psalms 1, where it talks about the man that follows God is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. But do we remember as much Psalm 52 and 10? It says, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Actually, mine said it's 52 and 8. Psalms 37, 35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. 92, 13 through 15. Psalms. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those he planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, that they may bring forth fruit, that they may bring forth fruit in old age, and that they may be fat and flourishing. For those that think they're too old to do anything, for those that think they're too old to do anything for the Lord, I say, The psalmist said that they will flourish in the course of our God, and they shall bring forth fruit in old age, and shall be fat and flourishing. Good God, we is the family of God. We're supposed to have some food and some fruit for the homeless. And when we get old, the fruit look like it should be even more and more. I'm glad I brought that up. And it says, and it just says, Nebuchadnezzar, that was you. You were like that tree. Go on to 22, please.
It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth.
23.
And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field, till seven times pass over him.
Well, I would have Dree to go ahead and read 24, but I need Ann to just give us just a slight taste of Ezekiel 31. We went there and God had shown another picture of a great tree that had raised up, and that tree represented a man. And this is a beautiful thing to me, is because Ezekiel uses that metaphor, that picture, when he talks about Assyria. The 17th chapter uses that same kind of metaphor, talks about David, and when the eagle crops off part of it, it grows up as a vine, and we remember that story. If not, we can go back and look at it at another time. What does it say, Ezekiel 31 and 1, Andrina?
And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches, and with a shadowing shroud, and of an high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great, the deep set him up on high, with her rivers running round about his plants, and set out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field.
Now that's a real pretty picture right there. That's like the Garden of Eden, isn't it? You got the place right here where everything is going, and you're sending out little rivers, the water, everything else. Go ahead, Anne.
Therefore, his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of heaven made their nest in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwell all great nations.
Do you all see the parallel? Do you all understand now when Jesus talk about the mustard seed and the kingdom of God being like that, which is really the family of God? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy under the rubric of the Holy Spirit, and we represent his kingdom and in his kingdom. Can you not see what he wants us to be? If this is what Assyria could do and didn't love God, if this is what Nebuchadnezzar was able to do, how much more when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sets us up, shall we be able to feed the homeless, provide shelter, give them God's blessed word, and when we understand his sovereignty, warn the nations so that they can come up under that tree and be fed and be protected from the wrath of God, which is going to come on this ungodly world for their ungodly and their dastardly deeds when they try to make him be nothing. Bless his everlasting name, his sent above the cherubim. Bless his name. I could read a little bit more of that, but because of the fact we're dealing with time. If you had dropped to verse 8, and I think you read a little bit. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to change my whole mind. We've gone through this passage. The tree was cut down. And his pride in those that trusted was scattered. Now let's go back to Daniel. Because you could get right here, and you could almost teach Daniel chapter 4 from Ezekiel 31. And I would submit to you that every man is a tree. One blind man Jesus healed, and he said, what do you see? I see men walking around as trees. Every man is like a tree. You can either be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, or you can be a corrupt tree. Somebody said, Tim, where you get that from? Jesus said, beware of false prophets. You'll know them by their fruit. And then he went straight into trees, didn't he? A good tree brings good fruit. A corrupt tree brings forth corrupt fruit. Understand the imagery of the Bible, and the Bible gets easier and easier to understand. Now, I'm not telling you will exhaustively understand it, but it can keep you working, and it can still fill you with joy as you do it. Read some more of that, Daniel, please. We stopped right there at 24.
This is the interpretation, O King.
Thank you, Anne.
And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King.
See, when the watchers gave their decree, they just said, it wasn't our decree. It's ours because it's been delegated and given to us, but we on a mission. This is the decree from the Most High. Go ahead, please.
That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known what the heavens do rule. That the heavens do rule.
27.
Wherefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility.
Now then, Woo-wee. Brother Charles, how would you like to be the one to tell the king you're getting ready to be cut down? You're going to lose your kingdom. You're going to lose your pomp. You're going to lose your circumstance. You're going to be out there with the animals of the field. They're going to make you eat grass. They're going to make you eat grass. And you have just seen him throw three men in a fire. And you just seen the powerful men burn up. You just heard him say a few years ago, about 16 years ago, just cut up every one of those men and make their house a dunghill. You know the kind of man that you got as a king. You also know that he roasted one of those men back there in the days when he went down to Jerusalem, roasted him in the fire. And you got to be one to come and tell him all of this. But Daniel knew the sovereignty of God. And he was able to warn the king. He was able to stand up on his hind legs. I'm old enough to remember the old Lone Ranger in Tonto. He used to come on, and the Lone Ranger, he had that little mask on with the white hat. And he said, "Hi, old Silver!" And Silver, that horse would raise up on his hind legs. Away! The Lord get on Daniel and Drina, and Daniel get up on his hand legs, and whatever you say, Lord, I'm going to say it. And he says, King, King, the Most High said this to you. They will drive you away from men. They're going to isolate you. You're not going to be able to walk in the room and everybody get all excited. Your dwelling will not be in this palace. It's going to be with the beast of the field. I'm bringing you down low. I'm bringing you down there where your nose can smell an earthworm when it walks. Mm. And they shall make you eat grass. If the beast of the field have used it to urinate or defecate, you'll still eat off of it. And they will wet you with the dew of heaven. You won't be in here under the shelter of your mighty cedar. And 7 years, from what I understand, will pass over you until you acknowledge publicly that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and he doeth whatever he will. You thought it was you, and I need to make you understand you don't rule in the kingdom of men unless I say so. I'm the one that's ruling in the kingdom of men, and I need you to bow down and let your neck be on the ground till I take my foot off of it. And you'll repent. What do you mean repent? When you acknowledge that it's me and not you, that's repentance. When it says, and where is it commanded to leave a stump and a root, a stump of the root, and your kingdom will be sure to you. And it says, after you shall have known that the heavens, that's what is called a circumlocution that goes around instead of saying God. It's not just the heavens. The heavens without God don't rule anything. Okay? That's a term that's used to represent God. Okay? That the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O King, first you're going to recognize it's me that's ruling. I'm sovereign. Now, I'm going to give you the warning from God. O King, let my advice, let my warning be acceptable unto you. I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear. I'm going to tell you something you don't like. Let it be acceptable because God rules. He showed you the dream. He showed you the watches. He showed you the picture. That's you, dude. That's you. It's sure. It's certain. It has come from God's mouth. Maybe if you will do what I say, you might be able to have peace. Listen to what it says. Let my counsel be acceptable unto you. Break off your sins with righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy. The Septuagint will be saying, give alms. The word is tzedakah. Tzedakah is doing and giving alms to the poor. In other words, you're looking out for the poor and the different ones in your field. That's something I was trying to find out for you, get for you all out of the legend of the Jews. I couldn't find it. But anyway, Isaiah 1 and 17 tells Israel when they know that they're under God and they're not doing it. Isaiah 1 and 17 says, cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead the cause of the widow. Nebuchadnezzar, you have people in your realm that you're not doing for. And you up here flourishing like a big fat pig ready to go to slaughter. It says, break it off and your ungodliness by doing righteously. Reread the next verse because I'm going to read that in the Septuagint because I think it's just good enough that I should read that verse in there. Go ahead and read the next verse while I'm doing this.
All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon.
Now, he told him he's been warned by a man of God. The man of God has tried to feed him with knowledge, understanding how he could preserve himself. 12 months go by, ain't nothing happened. Read on.
The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power?
Nebuchadnezzar gets up there. See, Brother Damon, you're not old enough to understand the good shows that were on TV. See, when I was a boy, that was a good old show called Tarzan. That probably wouldn't be that good in there because, you know, I've seen so much other stuff. But when Tarzan would get in a situation, he beat his chest, and the elephants and things would start coming. Maybe you've seen on the King Kong movie, you know, where King Kong beat his chest, especially the new King Kong, when he whipped all the dinosaurs, and he beat his chest like, you know, I'm the man. Well, in my mind, What is Nebuchadnezzar out there doing? Nebuchadnezzar, come up there. This is a big kingdom out there. I did it by myself. With my might. You know, he's beating his chest. He's making a rap song without the music. Read it again, Drianna. Let's read it with and understand what he's really doing.
The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?"
He said with his own lips, "This is great Babylon that I have built." Babylon is great. I built it for the house of my kingdom and my might and my power and my honor and my majesty. And Daniel has tried to show him that any kingdom is built up by God's might, by God's power, God's majesty, and for his honor. And Nebuchadnezzar says, it's me, oh Lord, the might and honor is mine. And when we pray, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. Nobody taught Nebuchadnezzar that prayer growing up, so he was able to say that and feel good about it. Next verse.
While the word was in the king's mouth.
While the word was in his mouth, while it was still lisping, it be lisped. Go ahead.
There fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee."
Your kingdom is departed from you. Now when I read in the Septuagint, that's why when I told you the warning was in verse 24 and it was in 27, I've been going back and forth, make sure I can get the stuff together. But in the Septuagint, 24th verse of Daniel, it says, "Therefore, O king, let my counsel please thee, and atone for thy sins by alms, and your iniquities by compassion on the poor. It may be God will be long-suffering to your trespass." And the point that I was trying to make is, in 12 months, obviously, he didn't do it. And obviously, he didn't heed the warning from someone that saw the sovereignty of God, who told him about the government. He would not eat off of him. He's trying to feed you. You in a palace. You got all the magnificent food, but you're still homeless and hungry. And you wouldn't eat. You would not let my words that came from God's sweetest word be gracious to you. Well, now you got broke down. That's what black people say. He broke down now. He broke down, y'all. He got the beat down. Read some more of that, Dree.
"And they shall drive thee from men."
It's going to happen. Please read.
"And thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will."
Now this voice that talked to him this time, they didn't have to worry about being astonished. They didn't have to worry about being terrified. "I'm just speaking what's going to be because of the fact that I had somebody in your governmental official to warn you." That's what we need to pray for, no matter who gets to be in charge of our country, who's in charge of another country. Lord, will you have someone that it will speak your word, whether they hear or whether they forbear? Because you got a will, it's got to be done. Read some more.
"The same hour."
Not next week.
"The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven."
They went from the narrative back to Nebuchadnezzar talking. Did you notice that? "At the end of the days that I lay was out there snaking, eating grass, humiliated, not even fully knowing that I'm humiliated. I'm all messed up and I look like the beast that I've always acted like I was. At the end of days, I Nebuchadnezzar, from a position of looking down with the earthworms, he said, I lifted my eyes to heaven, and what did he do?
And mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever."
And then what I did, I stopped being the Most High. My lips blessed the Most High. Yeah, I did. My lips blessed the Most High. He lives forever and ever. What else?
Whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation.
And his kingdom, I will never build another golden statue. I will never tell somebody to bow down to it. What else did he say?
And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing.
Wait a minute. I stood up because if you say, Brother Charles, every man is not worth living, and you're a man, what have you just said? If you stand up and say, I wish every man was slaughtered today, and just killed. They're the ones that fight the wars. They're the ones that starts the wars. Would you not be saying, if somebody took you at your word, that I need to be put to death too? Mm-hmm. Now listen to what Nebuchadnezzar said about all the inhabitants of the earth.
All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing.
Now he sees himself like he should. That's a total repentance.
You bow down to the statue that I make.
We nothing. All of us. Because I'm over you. And if I know I'm nothing, you're nothing. Please read some of the more of the sweetest word of God.
And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me.
You see, what Nebuchadnezzar is saying is that, you know what, I realize it's a gift, that it's a gift that's given to me. It's his dominion. Everybody is nothing like a nation. It's like a drop in the bucket. He does his own will in heaven. He can do it in earth. Who can stop him? I couldn't. If anybody could stop his hand, it should be me. And out for 7 years, I was out there. When my reason returned to me, that was by his choice. It didn't just happen. My honor and my brightness came back to me, and my counsel and my lord, they sought me, and I was established again in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added. Do you catch that? It ain't that I just got it. It was added. It was given. Now I Nebuchadnezzar praise and extol the King of heaven. Notice when he said he praised the King of heaven, guess what? I don't see it in the plural. All of whose works are truth, and his ways are judgment. And guess what? Those that walk in pride, it don't matter who they are. Mm-hmm. Now then, how do we walk with that? Mm-hmm. That disease that he had, they have a lot of names for it, but there's a disease that they say come over men, and they become, think that they're beasts. Some feel that they're werewolves, and that they are really wolves, and it's documented, and some try to say that this happened to one that was called Nabonidus, and I've read that kind of stuff, but his was totally different. They say his was boils and stuff. Nebuchadnezzar had a problem with his mind, and God, you know, protected his kingdom like he did the stump until I get ready to bring it up, because even Job, I think 14:4 says, if a tree cut down, will it sprout again? God let Nebuchadnezzar have a remnant of his kingdom, and he built him back up. The point that's being made here is that as a person or of a people that's the family of God, we should be so true to God that we in positions where we are, whether it's jobs, communities, or whatever, we can warn, whether they hear or whether they forbear. We need people in the White House. We need people in Iran, Iraq, all over the world, China, etc., that love God, that are in those positions, that will stand strong, that people know that the Spirit of God is in you, and they will at least allow you to tell them what thus saith the Lord, or even if God give them a vision, you can help them, that you can help them whether they hear or whether they forbear, because God will either use us to incite people to do right or indict them for being ungodly and not listening. And in the midst of that process, we, just like that tree, can feed, we can shelter, those that don't have God as their Father. That's our job. That's the job of those of us who know His will. Father, thank You for Your blessed word, for Your goodness and Your grace and Your magnificent glory. I ask You by Your might and power to help us realize Your sovereignty in the affairs of men and be able to warn them, not try to capitulate, make them like us, but that we trust Your sovereignty, Your will, whoever You set up, whoever You set down, whatever You do, that we realize that You're in control. And Lord, we help us to realize that just because we know You're in control, it doesn't mean we don't do anything. We do the best we can, what we know that we're supposed to do. And if the outcome is not what we want, we realize You are sovereign, but we are faithful. And help us to be the kind of people that people can come to and feed off of, so that they can learn You and be under the shelter of Your wing. I ask this for all of us in the blessed name of Your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen, and even so, amen.